Hey, you guys.
Yeah.
What's up, Baldy?
Me and Jenny, yeah. Me and Jenny talk about what I'm going to put on my head. I know Sophie's sending me a birthday present of, she said some wigs. It's just going to be ridiculous. It's probably going to be a mullet in there. It's probably going to be a rainbow clown wig in there.
I hope so.
Something like that. And then I said what I needed to do, because she's fucking with me about my Michael Caine wig. Because I put that shit on and forget that I have it on, just go serious as fuck.
And then you have this like ridiculous like curl. Which makes it even funnier.
Say what I need to do is I need to fucking get in the kitchen and make myself a tinfoil hat. A real tinfoil hat. So whenever I start thinking about some crazy shit, I'll fucking put the tinfoil hat
we
on.
Definitely do need a tinfoil hat for the show.
Yeah. When I start like theorizing behind fucking paranormal stuff or anything, man, fucking globalist conspiracy theories, I'll put the tinfoil hat on. keep the FBI from fucking scanning my brain waves.
Yeah,
because I don't want them to know what I'm thinking. They'll arrest me for pre-crime and shit. Like Tom Cruise movie, man. The little robotic ants will come in and get me. Little robotic spiders will come in and get me.
Yeah, I'd like to see that.
Yeah. So Jenny and I saw this movie last night. It's a Russian flick. It's called, what's it, Deep Penetration? What's it called? Super Deep.
Yeah, that's the porno.
Super Deep.
That's the porno version.
Super Deep.
I've also super seen deep. It called The Super Deep.
Yeah. Yeah, Super Deep. It sounds like sounds like interracial porn, doesn't it? Super Deep.
Well, you know what's fun? Like, I didn't even realize this, and I'll get into like what the movie's about in a minute. But the hole at the center of this movie,
yeah,
that's a real thing. It's called the Colas Super Deep Borehole.
Yeah,
and then I was
that
just kind of like,
sexy as shit.
I was like, you're a borehole.
You say super deep borehole.
The Colas Super Deep Borehole. It's a real thing.
Down
it's
the cola.
And they started building it back in 1979.
Yeah,
and I guess in 1989 it got to its deepest point, which is more than 7.5 miles into the earth.
Yeah,
and I was like, well, shit. But that's what this movie is based on. So I didn't realize that was like a real thing.
What are they doing down there?
Who knows?
Yeah.
Well, hopefully not what they're doing in this fucking movie, because that would be bad.
Yeah, it's a pretty weird flick. I'm not going to say it was a bad flick. It wasn't a great flick. It was good. It was passable.
I think the main thing about it was that it was a little bit too long.
Yeah.
Because it's almost 2 hours.
I started falling asleep towards the end.
I kind of felt like 30 minutes could have been trimmed out of it.
Yeah.
And another thing, too, was that some of the stuff, like, I didn't really get a good sense of where they were in the facility and how are we getting out now? Or are we going deeper now? Or we just like, I don't know if I just wasn't, I mean, I was paying attention. The weird thing too is that it's a Russian movie, but it's in English.
Yeah.
And it looks like some of the actors were dubbed, although it looks like from their mouths, it looks like they're speaking English, but it kind of sounds like they're dubbed. But then the main woman that's in it that plays Anna, I'm pretty sure that's her real voice. It didn't look like she was dubbed. And she just speaks English with a really thick Russian accent.
Yeah.
I don't know. So it was really weird. I don't know if they made it in English originally or I don't know.
What they did was they tried to make a movie that was kind of like The Thing and Aliens and a Doom movie all in one with a zombie kind of a fucking...
I gotta say I liked the monster in this.
Yeah.
It was a good idea. And it's one you don't really see a lot of.
Right.
I guess it's not too much to spoil it, right? Because it's kind of like, I mean, I know it's new and everything, but it's on Shudder, by the way.
Yeah. The I wouldn't spoil it, I don't think.
Well, what kind of monster it is?
What kind of monster it is, I wouldn't really spoil it. I'm just going to say that there are some big differences with this movie. They did a lot of stuff right, and they did some stuff that was wrong. In the beginning, they're kind of like in an Arctic type area in Russia. It's real cold. They're trying to give you the feeling that it's very cold outside and that they're doing paramilitary shit. It's kind of like something out of Aliens or something out of The Thing. They're trying to get to this super deep, boring site where there evidently some kind of disease has broken out and
or something's going on.
Something's
down
going
there.
On.
They're
and,
not
and,
real
and
sure
this,
what it is.
The main character. Is this woman who she's like a virologist, right?
Epidemiologist.
Epidemiologist, right. She's studying epidemics. And the military's taking her in there. There's some kind of Soviet airborne infantry.
It takes place in 1984.
Yeah, it's happening in 84. The look is pretty good in the opening scenes. The problem is that unlike The Thing, in The Thing, it really did look like they were out in the cold, because they were. Whenever they breathe, there's fucking steam and fog coming out of their mouths. And not in this one. There's snow, but no fog. So it doesn't look real analog. And I think because of the dubbing issues and also the way the story arc is going in the very beginning, there's too many goddamn characters and too much useless dialogue. You don't need to know very much. It's not exposition. It's just they keep cramming a bunch of different characters into this. And it doesn't feel very natural. It feels unnatural. Now, when they get into the bore site, it starts feeling a little bit better. Starts feeling like something kind of out of Aliens versus Predator. You know, when they go down in there and they find a temple. It's kind of like that in a way, but there's no temple. And it's also kind of like Alien, where they're in the alien ships, or, you know, how it kind of looks like they're in a spaceship, but they're not. They're underwater, or they're underground.
This actually, it's funny you mentioned underwater, because this gave me a little bit of that kind of movie vibe too, a little bit.
Yeah, underwater was a lot better though.
It was,
the way it looked a lot better. It looked a lot more worn and lived in. This kind of has a brand new and shiny kind of feel to it in certain areas, almost kind of like a made-for-TV movie, where it doesn't really look like they're in a lived-in space.
I know what you're talking about.
It doesn't really look like that. It looks like a set. It was a kind of situation where less would have been more. I think that if they'd have had fewer characters and more of a driving story moving faster, you didn't need all that exposition.
Yeah, something more straightforward. Because like I said, I think at some point, you know, after they go down into the borehole, and I kind of lost track of, because I know there was the one guy, Dr. Grigoriev or whatever his name was, and he was the only guy that had the key to the elevators, yeah. Right? And he was the only guy that knew the code. And then at some point he took off and like took the key with him. And I didn't get what his motivation was. Like, why did he get them down there and then leave them? Yeah. Like, oh, now you're stuck down here. Like, I think there was probably a reason, but I didn't catch it.
Yeah, they tend to, they, because of the way the writing and the storytelling is, they tend to make big deals out of things that you don't need to know, and then ignore things that maybe you should know. It's kind of an inverse to it. Maybe it has something to do with Russian storytelling. Maybe something was edited out. It's just, it feels like a very messy script. It should have been a lot tighter. There's a bunch of shit we didn't have to know, but they spent time on it, you know. They're trying to characterize characters that aren't really a big deal to begin with anyway. You notice that there were two of these characters, and they're trying to get to know these characters, but why?
Well,
they're gonna die.
Well, and there were too many of them.
There are too many of them, right?
I think, yeah, the thing about it is that, and like I said, you sound like we're shitting on it, but this was actually like a pretty good, like an enjoyable movie. And I will say, the monster, like I said, I don't want to spoil it, because I like that I didn't know what the monster or the baddie was when I was going in. And I will say the special effects on it are really good. Like, once it gets to that point and the bad shit starts to happen and like they do all that stuff, the special effects are really, really grody.
It had a good score.
I liked the music.
It had what I guess was kind of like some old underground band Russian rock music that was in from the 80s that was in English. Maybe it was a hit in over there, you know what I mean, back in the 80s. Doesn't sound good to us, but it was Russian. And then they did a bunch of like Soviet vaporwave where it kind of
sounds... Yeah, I dug that.
Yeah, it's kind of like new wave keyboard sounds, but it was... kind of like vaporwave or new retro wave, but it had kind of like a Soviet spin or Russian kind of sound to it, futuristic and Russian, and that was really cool. So I think they did well with the score. The acting wasn't bad. The casting wasn't bad. There's just too many goddamn characters.
I liked the woman that played like the main role. She was the epidemiologist. And so, like I said, she gets, she was involved in some kind of similar project earlier, which is why they called her to be like, because I liked the setup of this.
Yeah.
Because they were kind of like, look, way down in this deep fucking hole where they're supposed to be like drilling for stuff, but they're like, no, actually, of course, they're doing all kind of like secret experimentation that they're not supposed to be doing, like 7 to 8 miles below the earth.
Yeah.
And so they're like, something bad's happening down there. You're They've right. evacuated most of the people, but we keep hearing people like screaming and moaning and stuff. And a bunch of people have gone missing and we don't know what happened to them. So they call her and they get like a whole bunch of like military guys and they need to go down there and check it out and figure out what's going on because they think it's some kind of disease. That's why they call her.
Yeah. It's the same setup as Alien 2.
Pretty much.
She's like Ripley, the specialist in something. She's gone in with the military and some military dudes and a couple technical people to go hook up with some, basically the lost colonists. Some of them have doctors and shit. They're going to be in there. But it's that same setup, kind of. The difference is that even though Aliens 2 had a pretty big cast, most of the cast was very minimal. It was very trimmed down. It was more show than tell. That's how you got to know the Marines. You didn't have to know them that much. You just showed them doing shit and interacting with each other. This one's like almost a little bit too much detail, too much exposition. You don't need to know all that. Not a lot. It's just too much. An 80s version action movie, which this is kind of homaging, was, if you go back and look at it, the screenplay, it's very trimmed down. There's not a lot there.
Yeah. I feel like it would have benefited from, you didn't need... quite all those military guys.
No.
You didn't need, like, some of the subplots. There's like, you know, now we're going up, now we're going down, now we're at the, because there's two levels, I guess. There was a level that was called the resort. That was where the living quarters were for the people that worked there. And then the lowest level was called Sahara, and that's where the labs were, and that's where the trouble was, I think. But I think it became a little bit too muddled about where they were in the facility and which way they were going and why they were going there particularly. I think that was just like a little muddled. And like I said, I thought that
that's a good way to describe it.
It needed to be shorter.
Yeah.
Like I said, they should have focused tighter on, you know, we need to figure out what the hell, because it felt like the setup was really good. Like there's all this screaming and moaning, 20 people are missing from this facility. You know, and at the beginning, when she first gets there, like in the helicopter, and that one guy comes staggering out and blows himself up. And then she's like taking samples or whatever. And he's like, seems to be glowing. And they're just like, what the fuck? So that's the setup of it is great. But then I feel like for about 20-30 minutes, it kind of wanders around for a little while.
I noticed that. Yeah.
And it kind of wanders around. But then once that girl comes up, that woman, Olga, I think her name was, or whatever her name was, when that woman comes in and they're like, how the fuck did she even get in here? Because the elevator was not in the right place or whatever. And then when they see what is going on with her, like, I don't want to spoil it, like I said, but what's going on with her body, let's call it that. Then it kind of ramps back up. And then I was like, okay. And then like the last part of it, which I think you had kind of dozed off by that point. But the last part of it, when they actually show
what the deal is,
and what's going on, that was great. Like the special effects were like so goopy and just so, so awesome.
Yeah. The problem is in the screenplay and the writing. Okay. Like I said, I'm going to go back to Aliens or Alien 2. If you looked at how that went, it was like sporadic setups, some action, and then like some more action, and then all of a sudden there'd be like a cool down period where it gives the audience a time to absorb what's happening, and another set. Like for instance, they go into the med bay. Hey, look, you know, look at these fucking space huggers. Well, what's laying these eggs? Oh, he likes you. You know, there's a little shit like that. It's just, there was a time to absorb what was happening. You know, they were trying to show the audience what the situation was. And there never was really any scenes like that where you were being explained, obviously, what the characters thought was happening. Or it kept losing me.
I mean,
too muddled. It's like,
there was one point where she explains something about, is this like a spoiler? Where she explains something about like, you know, like ants. Do you remember that part?
That was the only thing that where you kind of
so
got
that was, was, yeah. Like, so like I said, I felt like the movie's kind of long. Like I said, it's an hour and 55 minutes. And I feel like they could have trimmed like 25 minutes off of it.
Right.
Mostly from the first and second act just like I said, cut down. You don't even have to cut down. There weren't that many characters, but I felt like there were some that were extra, and they should have like cut a few of them out and focused more on the ones that remained, and then kept the story more focused. Like, you know, not we're at the resort level and then the doctor ran off with the key and all this other stuff. It's basically just like get to the lab and then something bad is happening in the lab and then you trying to figure out what it is and trying to escape the monster. Yeah. It should have like tightened up the focus some. And but it's not a bad movie by any means.
No, and there's some subplots that just aren't need to be, they don't need to be there. Like, one of the guys, I guess he's kind of like a scientist, is in, always fighting with one of the dudes who's a Spetsnaz dude or airborne guy. They always like have to almost get in a damn pissing match or a fighting match all the time. You didn't really need that. There was just a little bit too much stuff happening. Like you said, it muddled the story.
But I think that was like a really good, you know, if you took some stuff out, I don't even think you'd have to like redo because the special effects are amazing.
You don't have to reshoot anything. You just
no, edit. You wouldn't. Yeah, just take some shit edit. Out.
Yeah.
And just tighten the focus up. And like I said, the special effects, I think, were my favorite part of this. Yeah. Like in the third act, like when it just went batshit crazy. Like once that girl arrived and then like the bad shit started happening, that was great. Like it looked really good.
I'd cut 15 to 20 minutes of fat out of this movie. And it would probably play a lot better, at least to an American audience. Maybe this is just the way Russians like stories told. I don't know.
Esther asked if it was similar to The Crazies. It is a similar kind of premise. That's the George Romero one. They remade it, I think, in the 2000s, but I don't think I saw the remake. I like the original, though. That was from the 73. It's a similar premise. It's more kind of like you said, it's kind of like more like along the lines of Aliens or The Thing.
And The Thing, right.
Or something like that. And like I said, it gave me a little bit of an underwater vibe.
Yeah.
Not exactly the same because that was kind of like, that was more, that's almost kind of more cosmic horror.
Yeah, underwater was like something out of Aliens. So like something out of, it was almost kind of like a, that movie got shit on. All right. But Underwater's built a good cult following. That's a very high quality movie.
Well, I feel like after it came out, it's almost like a few months later, everybody saw it and then they were like, oh, hey, this is good.
It was very good.
I think everybody assumed it wasn't going to be good because it came out in January. So everybody just assumes, oh, a horror movie that comes out in January is automatically going to suck.
Well, it's also kind of, this shit happening underwater. And so there's been some fucking bad sci-fi movies that had happened on.
Yeah. So you can't like blame people for, because they've been burned before.
I put it up there with, Alien 1, Alien 2, Blade Runner, Prometheus, it's like something Ridley Scott would have made. But, there's a Cthulhu in it.
Yeah.
And you go, fuck.
This one is still cosmic horror in a sense. Well, not really. This one is more scientific horror. Like, it's not, this isn't supernatural. Well, I guess Underwater wasn't really supernatural either.
No.
Because you could have said,
it's just deep sea monsters.
Cthulhu exists.
Yeah, Cthulhu was a real thing.
But this one is less like that. This one is more kind of, to an extent, something that could happen. Although it goes kind of crazy at the end, and it's like, I'm not sure if that could happen. Yeah. But maybe. Sort of. Esther asked, or no, Tammy asked, did you say where it's streaming? And then Esther said it's on Amazon Prime. It's on Shudder as well.
It's on Shudder also. Free.
It's on Shudder as well. So if you have Shudder, you can watch it on there, at least in the U.S. I'm not sure.
Not a bad movie. I'm not, don't mean to shit on it. I'm just critiquing it. It's pretty good.
It's worth watching. Yeah. Like I said, the effects are the best part.
Yeah.
I just feel like it could have been shorter.
Yeah.
I think that was the only issue was the editing.
It's a shorter edit.
And the dubbing was strange.
Yeah.
But I'm not going to shit on it too much because of that, because I'm just not sure what they were going. I mean, dubbing just gets on my nerves anyway because it's so distracting. But everybody wasn't dubbed in this, I don't think.
Right.
It didn't seem like everyone was dubbed because the main actress, that didn't seem like she was dubbed.
I think, I would recommend Underwater over this. And of course, I would recommend The Thing over this. But similar. If you like those two movies, you might like this one.
Yeah, you might want to check this one out because it was decent.
Yeah.
And it made me learn something new. I didn't know that there was really a Cola Super Deep Boral.
Yeah.
Cola Super Deep Boral. I can't believe that's what it's called. I just kind of clicked on it because there's an extensive, actually, Wikipedia page for this movie where the plot is laid out in excruciating detail.
Yeah.
And then I was like, what? This is based on a real thing? What? And so, I went to another, you go down the Wikipedia fucking rabbit hole.
Yeah, see, Khan says Underwater was badass. I liked Underwater, man. I liked it just as good as fucking Ridley Scott movies. Ridley Scott, like I said, Blade Runner, and it's like it came out of the damn Ridley Scott universe, and it,
yeah,
the quality of the production was right there with the Ridley Scott type stuff. I got it sitting right next to all my Ridley Scott stuff in the damn
has my, pride my, my of place
right in there. Yeah, I like that movie.
Kanavatsan says, I think they made two versions of this movie, Russian and English in some parts. That might explain it.
Yeah.
Because some of the people are definitely not dubbed. Like, right. She is not dubbed. You can tell that's her real voice and she's really talking. But some of the other people, you know, you can tell because, like, the thing doesn't quite match up. They look like they're speaking English,
yeah.
But then the dubbing is doesn't have a Russian accent.
That might explain why it kind of has an artificial feel to me. You know what I mean?
But I get what you're saying. It does. Well, the way it's shot, I kind of feel like when you do movies like this, like Underwater did and stuff like that, I felt like this needed moodier lighting.
Yeah.
And make it look dirtier.
Yeah, and it didn't look dirty and lived in as much. It looked like something out of, I don't know, Deep Space Nine.
That's what I was going to say. It gave me like kind of a Star Trek kind of look to it, where everything was kind of like clean and new, which maybe it would have been because, you know, I guess in the universe of this movie, it hadn't been there that long. So it wasn't like, you know.
I think they were trying to homage Alien and Alien 2, though.
Probably.
A lot of that place looked like Hadley's Hope, or it looked like inside the Nostromo.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, so, but it just didn't look worn.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And there was something about, something about the cinematography, or like I said, the lighting. I think it just needed to be, like, have moodier lighting, I guess. But, I could see what they were going for, but there were some parts of it that were dark. And when they got to the part where the monsters were, then it was, you know, there were all kind of, like, alarms and shit going off. So it's like a lot of the lights had gone out, so everything was, like, red. So that was cool. But, and I really liked, there was one scene toward the very end where she has to go outside of the facility for a short time to get something. And I guess it's like 200 degrees out there because it's like, you know, 7-8 miles under the earth. And that part, and she sees, like I said, what the monster is, kind of. But she kind of sees this big thing. And that was like a really cool scene. I liked that a lot.
Yeah.
You know, and she's out there kind of getting cooked or whatever. So that was that was cool. I like that. But yeah, so overall, it's like it was a good movie. I just feel like it should have been shorter. That's all.
Yeah.
But it was a good idea. The special effects looked fantastic. I thought were really gross and goopy, which, you know, I like that.
Yeah, that I think was one of the strong points. That the creature effects looked pretty good.
Yeah, I thought they looked really good. And it was like a couple scenes, like one toward the end, like in the elevator when she was going back up and stuff like that with, like I said, I can't spoil it because you can't.
Yeah, they had some body horror stuff going on.
It was very body horror.
It was effective.
Yeah.
It's kind of stuff where they could, you know, you could do a sequel on this movie. But like I said, I'd tighten that script up a lot.
Yeah, I think that's the only criticism I could make of it, really.
The main criticism is that it needs a tighter.
Just needed to be edited.
Edited.
But that's all.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not bothered. But yeah, so in case I didn't mention it, the director's name is Arseny Suhin? Suhin? Sorry, I'm sure I'm butchering that. I can't say Russian names. Might be his first movie. I'm not entirely sure. Maybe not. I don't know. But, you know, did you know that the Kola Super Deep Borehole existed?
Shit sounds X-rated.
That's what I thought when I saw it. I was like,
Kola
Super Deep
Borehole. Kola Super Deep Borehole.
Kola Super Deep Borehole.
Yeah. That's like some gay porn. That's a whole series of that shit. Kola Super Deep Borehole 1. Kola Super Deep Borehole number 10.
Deeper and deeper.
Hitting bedrock number 5.
We should totally start our own porn company.
Starring Johnny Bedrock.
Johnny Bedrock. Yeah, everybody that's in the movies has to have a porn name that has to do with digging deep into the earth.
It's Mick Manhole.
Oh my God. I don't know. all right. So, Kanavasan said, Jenny, did you like Sputnik more? Yeah, I think I did. I liked Sputnik quite a lot, actually. That was the other Russian one that we saw.
Sputnik. I think Sputnik was a little bit better.
That's
because, and I say it was because of the edit. Sputnik had a tighter edit.
It was much shorter.
Yeah.
It
was easier to understand, had a smaller cast. There's too many goddamn people in this movie.
Too many notes.
Too many goddamn people. Yeah. Well, some of the feelings of fear go away when there's a crowd of damn people.
That's true.
I mean, you know, what's going to threaten a crowd of people? Fucking Godzilla? So we got 100 dudes standing here, man. Like, I'm scared to go down there. You know.
Well, yeah, that's the thing. If you're going down and like you think maybe there's a monster or something scary, it's like, well, they'll probably eat all these people and I'll have time to run away.
Yeah. Well, it's harder to be scared in a massive group because everybody's kind of fucking equally fucking suffering together. That's all true, you know, fucking guys who survived fucking military fucking just massacres where their units were getting wiped out. A lot of them weren't scared because they were seeing people dying, but they were all their friends dying, and they figured, well, I'm just going to be killed along with everybody else. So it's kind of like you can accept your inevitable death a lot better because you're not alone.
I think
we're all going out together.
I think that's what makes people afraid is more being by yourself,
yeah.
More than being in a group.
Yeah.
Yeah, I totally get that.
Yeah.
I totally get that. Because other people can like relate to the same shit because everybody's going through the
same
thing.
Everybody's
going to
die, so we're all going to die together.
Yeah, I get it. Yeah.
Suffering in a massive group is a lot easier.
Yeah.
Than fucking by yourself. That's one of the reasons why when you capture prisoners, the first thing you do is separate them. One, so they can't cook up a story. Another one is it demoralizes them.
Yeah.
They can't get gang up on you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, everybody knows that. Damn. That's just psychology 101.
Yeah.
But yeah, so like I said, Shudder, Amazon Prime, if you want to watch it, it's decent. Just for the creature effects alone, I thought they were so, so good. And I really liked like some of the imagery like later on. Like I said, I don't want to spoil it, but you know what I mean. I was going to say something else, and I can't remember what it was. Shit, well, all right, I don't know. But I think what it was, because remember I told you last night, there's another movie that's on Shudder. I think it's Brazilian. And it's called Skull: The Mask. And I remember reading about it a while back, and I was like, man, that sounds fun. I was like, that sounds like super gory and over the top. Like, it sounds like something you would like, and plus it's Brazilian. When I went to watch it back then, because I heard about it a few months ago, I couldn't find it anywhere, but Shudder just added it like a week or two ago. So maybe we'll watch that tonight. We'll see if that's any good.
Khan brings up a good one. He says we haven't reviewed Without Warning. I saw Without Warning when I was a kid. I remember when it came out.
Yeah.
I loved it. Wouldn't mind seeing it again.
I should write that down, actually.
But that movie inspired some guys to write another movie that they thought was a better version of that, and it was called Predator 1.
Yeah.
Yeah. Fucking Without Warning was the inspiration for them to write Predator.
Yeah.
And it was some army guys wrote Predator and put it underneath the fucking door and fucking, they gave the script away for free.
And this is so awesome.
It is so awesome you can fucking have it. And they were like, this is great.
It's a present for you.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And it was basically like without warning, but with in a military setting.
Yeah, because I think when we reviewed Predator, I think we mentioned that.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think I saw it, but it was so long ago that I could barely remember.
Jack Pounce was in that one. Didn't he play the I think Jack Pounce was in it. He played the drunk that saw the alien.
Did he have any styrofoam fall in his head?
No, I don't think so. I think he's living in that damn shack.
Hopefully someone knows what I'm talking about.
Punk. Jack Pounce getting fucking killed in an avalanche of styrofoam.
Well, because he was in a lot of really shitty... Yeah. He was in some really bad like sword and sorcery type movies like in the 80s. Particularly they did one on Mystery Science Theater. What the fuck was the name of that thing where he played a wizard with a ridiculous hat?
I don't know.
And it was just, oh my god, it's so, so fucking funny.
That was fucking in Jack Pounce's decline when he would just fucking work with...
He just wanted a check.
Needed a check.
He's like, look, I just want some booze and drugs. Can I please just have some money?
Yeah. I guess Pounce had kind of worn out his welcome. So he ended up having to be like a C-lister.
Yeah, it was kind of sad to see, but
yeah,
you know
sad
I mean.
Because he had a lot of gravitas to him.
But then I think didn't he have like kind of a comeback later? Because
I think he did. Yeah,
wasn't
he
in like fucking what was that movie with?
He came back later.
Yeah, he came back later and got like I remember him doing the push-ups at the Oscars or whatever.
Yeah.
Louis says check out a movie called Hold the Dark, which is pretty good. I've heard that was good. Yeah, that's on Netflix, so I will have to watch that as well. But yeah, so what do we? Gore. There you go. Yeah, Outlaw of Gore. I think, it was just called Outlaw or Outlaw of Gore.
Yeah.
That was a fucking terrible ass movie. It's supposedly based on a series of books, which are, I guess, are not bad, but it's one of my favorite Mystery Science Theater episodes, Joe, because the movie is just so fucking ridiculous that it's just, it's hilarious. The dude's sidekick and like the fucking, it's so 80s. Everyone has like that big hair and like that aerobic spandex with like those super high, like fucking aerobic clothes and shit. Yeah. It's like so fucking funny.
Everything was almost
it.
Power Rangers, like proto Power Rangers, really. The shit they would wear.
Yeah.
Like jogging suits.
Yep. City Slickers. That's what I was thinking. Yeah, he was in City Slickers later on. Okay, so I guess we're going to wrap it up, right?
Yeah.
All right, you sleepy again?
Sleepy, yeah.
Even though we did actually kind of get some sleep, although we woke up early this morning, but I always wake up early. All right, so we will be back tomorrow talking about whatever movie we decide to watch this evening. So have a good rest of your day, you guys. Yeah. Thanks for dropping by, and we will see you guys tomorrow afternoon.